Peter is strongly rebuked by our Lord, and even more interesting about this is right after, at least in Matthew's account of the same event, our Lord calls him blessed, and he gives Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever the time span is here, but it seems rather short, he then calls him Satan. And we've talked about this before, that the problem with what Peter says, his rebuke of our Lord's suffering, of our Lord talking about how he has to suffer, which to us seems very pious. We say, Lord, you mustn't suffer. God forbid that this happened to you. The problem with that is he didn't listen to the many, many prophecies of our Lord about his suffering and how, of course, he didn't understand how this suffering was necessary for the redemption of us all. And so this rejection of suffering is a sign of the work of the evil one. A rejection of suffering, a denial of suffering, an unwillingness to suffer is a sign of the evil one. And one of the reasons that we find this so difficult is because we are so averse to suffering, naturally, right? It's not as if suffering is attractive or fun, obviously. We're naturally averse to it. But unless we're super, super naive, or we've just lived an incredibly charmed life, we know that whether or not you follow Christ or not, there's going to be suffering. It's not a uniquely Christian thing to admit that there's going to be lots of suffering. And I think sometimes people might fall into that error and think, boy, Christianity, talking about taking up your cross and following Christ, and unless you lose your life, you won't save it. Oh, that's so gloomy. But everyone suffers. Everyone. The difference here is Christ gives a logic, a reason for suffering. He gives meaning to suffering. He redeems suffering through his own suffering. And so you can either suffer in a meaningless way or embrace that suffering and through it be more closely united to our Redeemer who suffered and died for us. That's the option before us. So our Lord isn't rebuking Peter simply because he doesn't want suffering, but because he doesn't see what suffering does if we follow Christ. Our discipleship is the only thing that makes suffering meaningful. You know, the term redemptive suffering. Again, people think, boy, you Christians, especially Catholics, are all about penance and suffering and all of this. And we say, well, yeah, because everyone suffers, and we desire to take the meaning that God gives us in that suffering, in the midst of that suffering, to make it not overwhelming, to make it not oppressive, to make it not defeat us. This is what our Lord gives us, the great gift. It's not like he came down here and said, well, I think it would be great if all of my followers just suffered a lot. No, he came to redeem suffering. Suffering that is a phenomenon that is everywhere in all of our lives. You know, I attempted to make an analogy a couple weeks ago. Involved a pimple, right? And it was a weird analogy, but I'm going to try again to make a different analogy, medically related, the what our Lord does for our suffering. So imagine that you go in to have surgery, and you are cut open. And that at that point you say, okay, I'm done. And the surgeon says, well, don't you want me to do the thing that this cut was for? Don't you want me to fix you, to go inside and fix whatever needs fixing? And you say, no, we'll stop here. To not allow the meaning to be given to that suffering, right? We recognize that to be healed, we have to endure some kind of suffering. And if we don't follow Christ and allow our suffering to be redeemed, we're as foolish as the patient that says, all right, just stop at the painful part. I'm fine with this painful part. And doesn't allow it to be redeemed by the healing that is to come at the end of that suffering. At the end of that pain. Is that a decent medical analogy, Dr. Chandra? Okay, good. All right, good. Got a thumbs up on that. Medically approved. It is exactly like that. All right. But that's really actually kind of true. Think about how much depression and darkness there is in the minds of people nowadays because they stop at just the suffering. They look at the suffering and they say, this is horrible. This is overwhelming. And they don't allow the light of Christ to take that suffering and redeem it and to heal it. That is the work of the evil one, right? This getting stuck on suffering, wanting to reject it, but not being able to on our own power, that brings depression. That brings a sense of meaninglessness to life. And that's why so many people end their life. It's a tragedy that's increasing more and more because of this. Because of having the same mindset that St. Peter had of there should be no suffering. If there's suffering, I reject it. I will not embrace it. Suffering is always wrong. It's not always wrong. It's always unpleasant. It's always unfortunate. But it's not always wrong. The same person can undergo the same kind. Two people can undergo the same kind of suffering. And one of them can be sanctified by it. And the other one can be driven to despair by it. And what's the difference between those two cases? The mentality we see here. Being blind to how we can be purified by suffering. And to repeat something that I said before, God doesn't desire suffering for its own sake. We talked about how God didn't ever intend suffering to be in the world. It was something that was a result of detaching ourselves from God. But as we detached ourselves from God, as our first parents detached themselves from God, He reached out and grabbed them and said, "You've lowered yourself. But even in this darkness and this chaos into which you've lowered yourself, I will bring you out by entering into it and making it meaningful." Right? We are all going to suffer. Everyone here has suffered in their own way. Everyone is going to suffer. And everyone is going to lose their life. And that's why our Lord says, losing your life for my sake, for the sake of the gospel, is what makes not only suffering, but even death meaningful. If we lose our lives for our Lord, if we spend our lives, no matter what suffering we endure, if we spend our lives for the Lord, then all of our suffering and even our death, in retrospect, will seem as nothing compared to the glory that awaits us. But if we try and save our lives, that is, if we try and save our lives as Peter tried to encourage our Lord to, and as Peter and the rest of the apostles tried to, by fleeing the suffering, by being scandalized by the suffering of the Lord, if we try and cling to our life, our Lord says, we will lose it. Because if we try and make our own meaning, or if we try to avoid all suffering, and we refuse to enter into the mystery of suffering and redemption that our Lord walked before us, the only one that we can count on is ourselves. And eventually, our spiritual energy runs dry. It runs low. We can't sustain suffering on our own. We can't make meaning out of it on our own. Only Christ can do that. And that's why he said, unless you pick up your cross and follow him, you can't be his disciple. We can't be Christians and have the Peter mentality here of Christianity is great, my discipleship is great, as long as it doesn't entail suffering. That is something that comes from the evil one. That's what our Lord says. Thinking like that does not come from God. It comes from the evil one. It sounds so good because suffering is so unpleasant and we think that it should be avoided at all costs. But that's the mentality. Think about it. This is the reason we know it's from the evil one. Avoiding suffering is the main motivation and the main justification behind a lot of the crimes against human dignity. You know, abortion, euthanasia, all of these things, mercy killings, etc. Because this mentality of suffering is bad, it is not redeemable. Think about all the evil that causes. Think about how much death this has brought, this mentality. So what seems like a harsh rebuke from our Lord is actually a life-giving rebuke, saying, if you try and push away suffering, then a meaningless, tragic death awaits humanity. A dark, meaningless existence. But if you follow me in suffering, and that's what said, if you carry your cross with Christ, you are carrying a cross knowing that you're going to die, right? Our Lord didn't just carry a cross around and take a couple laps. He put it on his shoulder knowing that the end of that journey was death. And he says, unless we're willing to do that, unless we're willing to suffer and die with him and be redeemed through that, then why bother doing anything for Christ? Because that's what it's all about. Conquering suffering. Not just enduring it, but conquering it. Not just suffering and being a sad sack, but conquering suffering. being victorious over suffering and death and sin. That's what our Lord did for us. Because the phenomenon of suffering is not going to change. It's not going to go away. We dive into it with our Lord, knowing that we will come out in the resurrection. So let's always be wary of any kind of comfortable interpretation of the gospel that tells us that if it's more convenient and it helps you avoid suffering, then that's better. That's what the Lord wants of you. It's probably not true. We see the long-term consequences of thinking like that. Lowers our dignity. Paradoxically, to deny suffering lowers our dignity. It makes us think that death is preferable to suffering, that death is preferable to pain. But our Lord redeems our pain. Our Lord redeems our suffering, and we thank Him for that. So we should go forth from Mass every time we receive the Eucharist, willing to take up whatever cross it is, however small, however big it is this day, and enter into it with our Lord, knowing that He carries it with us, and knowing that at the end of the road to Calvary, death is not the end, but resurrection is the end.